Well, she was born in the morning, late October, San Antonio. All she's ever girl I've ever known.
Good morning, Texas! That's the Turnpike Troubadours kicking things off for us on this early teal opening morning. Hope everybody had a great week and was able to stay dry for the most part. Prayers up for those Texans who weren't as fortunate. You know, we've had a crazy week. Tornadoes, flash floods, and all sorts of stuff. So our thoughts are with those who were affected by Mother Nature this week. Well, we do have a great show lined up for you this morning. Off the top, we'll visit with Texas State Rifle Association President Donald Strickland. TSRA is a very old organization that have been looking out for gun owners in the state of Texas for quite some time, and I'm looking forward to talking to Donald. Then we'll visit with one of your favorite Texas country music artists, Brandon Ryder, stops in to talk a little music and a whole lot of outdoors, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And then lastly, we'll get the latest fall migration update from Delta Waterfowl's Senior Vice President, John Devney. John might actually be the most tenured guest we've had on the show. I think this will be his fourth or fifth time, but I guess it's between him and our official bass angler, Kelly Jordan, who's also a regular. Anyway, moving right along, couple announcements this morning. Photo of the Month contest is rocking and rolling. I'm getting submissions just about every day. All you have to do is email me your best outdoor picks from the season. Send them to cablewaco@yahoo.com for a chance to be entered into our grand prize, two-day exotic doe and unlimited hog hunt at Quattro B Bow Hunting Ranch. It's free, people. All you have to do is send me your pictures. Also, another great contest that we've got going on right now is the Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind Contest. We want you to send your best deer blind photo to me. Same email address, cablewaco@yahoo.com. This is being put on by my friends at Southern Deer Stands. And we've also got three fabulous prize packages for this contest. For more details, go to deerblindcontest.com. That's deerblindcontest.com. Trust me when I say you'll be glad you did, because the grand prize is pretty sick, especially for all you deer hunters out there. Just check it out, deerblindcontest.com. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, it's TSRA Talk with my buddy Donald Strickland. That's right, he's the president of the Texas State Rifle Association. You're not going to want to miss it. That's coming up next, only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I'm going back to the honky tonks, back to the honky tonks, back to that dirt road life I know.
Hey Texas bow hunters, did you know there's a ranch designed specifically for you? Located just outside of Dehannes in South Texas, Boaz Man's Quattro B Ranch allows you to test your skills with do-it-yourself bow hunts for trophy whitetail, black buck, audad, fallow, axis deer, hogs, and others. And after a day in the field, relax in the state-of-the-art lodge equipped with a kitchen, shower, fireplaces, satellite, flat-screen TVs, pool table, barbecue pits, and more. Call 210-827-0681 or visit boazmanbowhunting.com to book your hunt today. That's boazmanbowhunting.com.
Hey, Ticketheads, Les Lundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail Hunts, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and Pronghorn Antelope Hunts. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms is Texas tried and true, producing the Lone Star State's finest sodgrass for commercial, residential, and wholesale customers for 46 years. They'll even deliver anywhere in Texas. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms also specializes in hydro seeding, irrigation, and landscape. Call 866-541-8873 or visit BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com, and you'll notice they also offer awesome South Texas dove hunting over their Frio County Turfgrass Farm. It's a dove magnet, baby, so go to BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com today.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers has you covered. From our four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion and to fit every need. Stop by one of our three South Texas locations. Call Affordable Trailers on Northwest Loop 410 in North San Antonio at 210-699-6000 or Affordable Trailers on Highway 87 East in South San Antonio at 210-648-2700. Then there's our new Big Tex Trailer location on I-35 in Buda. Call 512-295-4292 or visit us at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Patty, this is Roger Craig. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
He knew love lasted longer. The Great Depression only made him stronger. Well, he saved his pennies. And he prayed to God each night. And he knew how to weather hard times. And he showed us how to overcome. Hey, I can feel his strength when I hold him.
All right. Hope y'all are having a wonderful Saturday morning. Cable Smith welcoming you back to the presentation. Getting a little help there from my buddy Roger Craiger. And if you haven't already, I suggest you download that tune. I Got the Guns is the name of it. There's something special about a bond between a boy and his grandfather, isn't there? There was for me, and I'm sure there probably was for many of you out there as well. Anyway, this segment is proudly brought to you by Diamond Sports Marine, the official boat dealer of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Check out their Lake Fork or Rockwall locations, or just visit them online at diamondsportsmarine.com. This morning's first guest is the president of an organization that I encourage all Texas gun owners to get involved with. They are actively working to protect our rights on a state level, and it's my pleasure to welcome Texas State Rifle Association President Donald Strickland to the show.
Good morning, Cable. It's great to be with you, too.
Well, Don, a lot of Texas hunters may not realize that the TSRA has been around for quite some time, both behind the scenes and on the front lines, working to protect the rights of Texas gun owners. So tell us a little bit about the history of the organization.
The Texas State Rifle Association was founded in 1919. So that means we're 91 years old this year. It basically started out as a marksmanship training and running state championships for rifle and pistol. But then they added legislative side with volunteers at first, and now we have a full-time paid lobbyist in Austin. Her name is Alice Tripp, and she serves as our legislative director, and she takes care of all of the Second Amendment issues for the state of Texas. She works in conjunction with the NRA lobbyist that handles stuff on a national level.
Man, 91 years is a long time. And how long have you been involved, Don?
Well, I started competitive shooting and joined TSRA in the early 80s. I have been a director on the board of directors since 1992, and I'm in my seventh year as an officer. I started as president the end of February of this year. So I'm in my first year as president.
Well, so overall, though, 20 years experience with the organization.
Yes, sir.
Don, what is the main objective, or I guess mission statement, of the Texas State Rifle Association?
Well, in addition to the dozen or more state championships that are conducted in various different shooting disciplines, we have directors for gun collecting, junior programs, women in shooting sports, hunting and wildlife, and law enforcement, as well as five regional directors across the state. So we conduct state championships, we have junior hunts, we have women-only hunts, we have collegiate scholarships we give out, we support the Texas 4-H shooting program and other junior programs, we have a junior club and a box program that's air gun and small bore. And we're getting ready to kick off a new program that we're doing in conjunction with the Midway Foundation for Scholastic Shooting, and that we're going to be working on some trust funds with shooting programs that are in high schools and colleges to help them with their programs.
Well, education is always key, and these high school and college shooting programs are becoming increasingly more popular.
Yes, they are.
And Don, I understand that y'all are about to add shotgunning into the mix as well, something that traditionally the TSRA hasn't held competitions for.
That is, we're looking at several directors to possibly add to the board, and shotgun shooting is one of those. We just I just approved a committee for shotgun shooting that will be looking at how we can get the word out to shotgun shooters across the state about what TSRA is.
Well, it's always good to hear that y'all are planning on expanding your horizons and including shotgunning, a major part of our Texas hunting heritage as well. Let's talk about the major differences between the TSRA and the NRA.
Well, the NRA is going to look at things on a federal level. They're going to look at stuff up in Washington and our Congress and legislators there, where Texas, we're going to look at what happens in our state. And luckily, our state, only the legislation only sets every other year, so they don't set every single year.
Right.
We watch the bills that are being put out there, the bills that are coming up. We support bills. We oppose bills. We have people can sign up for our email alerts, and Alice sends out information about this bill is up. Write your congressman, write your senator, or I'm going to be having some hearings, and I would like some people to show up at the hearings and testify for this particular item. And so we do everything on the state level and watch what we do here in Texas.
So obviously we're big backers of Senator Wentworth's campus carry bill that needs to be passed this upcoming session.
Yes, the two major bills that we worked on last time that are coming up again this time are the campus carry and also being able to have your firearm in your locked car on your employer's property.
Very important that we get both of those bills passed. The last session, 2009, the antis prevented those bills from even getting voted on. They never even made it to the floor.
We had a lot of the big universities were against the campus carry, and big business was against the having firearms in the parking lot. What got stalled had to do with a lot of things with the legislature as far as changing the speaker and some other issues that were coming up, and that stalled lots of bills, and not a whole lot even made it to the floor for vote.
Well, it's very important that we get both of those passed, especially the campus carry bill, because I don't know what these people are doing, just ignorance, I guess, but they're just standing around waiting for another Virginia Tech massacre, and it makes me sick. Well, let's get back on track here before I go off on a tangent, because educating and protecting our youth is very important to me. They are the future of this country. Don, you're obviously the president of TSRA. Now, are you also a member of the NRA?
Yes, sir, I am. I am a defender member of TSRA, and I'm a benefactor member of NRA.
Great. I'm a member of both, too. But you know there's people out there, and I've read this online countless times, that believe you have to be a member of one or the other, or neither. But you really need to be a member of both of them.
Correct. Right. We are affiliated with the NRA in that we are the state association that's recognized by them for the state of Texas. Every state has a recognized organization that the NRA recognizes. We are, if we're not the first, we're the second largest. It's between us and California. It's the largest and the most organized of state associations across the country. And in 2008, we actually won the NRA award for their outstanding state association.
And that is quite an accomplishment, my friend. Let's talk about some of the stuff y'all do on a local level. A man in Garland, Texas, was struck by a stray 22 bullet a couple months ago, and immediately all the anti-gun people started pointing fingers at the Garland shooting range, saying that the bullet came from their range, while ballistics and logic tell us there's no way. It's over a mile away. The bullet did not come from the shooting range. Now, you guys are involved with that situation and many others like it around the state. So how does the TSRA step in and make a difference when something like that happens?
There's situations all over the state with regards to firing ranges, and we get called a lot to check them out. And sometimes it is neighbors that's moved in after the range was there that doesn't like the noise, or somebody moves in from a populated area before that doesn't like guns and doesn't like the idea of guns in the area. Sometimes the ranges have a good rapport with the neighborhood around them from people that used to be there or since they've been there a long time and other ones haven't. Sometimes the ranges need to be improved. Sometimes it's just a matter of a realtor has moved in and wants the range gone so he can sell his property for a higher value.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk with the owners. We get them talking with the NRA and their range their range people and help. Sometimes we got them involved with DPS and other people to evaluate and look at things and see what can be approved.
So it's obvious to see that y'all are doing lots of stuff to help out gun ranges all over the state. Shifting gears here, Don, tell us about some of the major victories that the TSRA has been involved with here on a state level.
Most of our stuff has been legislative. In 2007, we had our most success. I think there was probably we had 10 or 12 pieces of legislation out there, and we got nine of them that went through. We had the Castle Doctrine, which is the staying your ground in your house.
Mm-hmm.
We had the replacement for the traveling law, which talked about traveling in your car with your firearms. We had the Emergency Powers Amendment, which is the no confiscation, kind of like what went on in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
We had the confidentiality of your CHL applications and licenses, so only law enforcement can look at it. We got the laser sight hunting for visually impaired hunters approved. We got some stuff. There were some problems with some language for foster parents that wouldn't allow them to have guns in their homes. If they had a foster child, they had to get rid of their guns. So that's some of the stuff that we got worked on the last legislative session. And in between sessions, we'll get with legislators and have interim studies about upcoming bills and take testimony, and that will help lead into filing of bills the following year.
Well, it is a dirty job, but somebody's got to do all that lobbying for us in Austin. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, Don, so if somebody out there listening right now wants to become a member of the TSRA, how can they do that?
You can sign up online at tsra.com, or we have a membership hotline that is 1-866-897-4353. Now, to give you an idea, there are about 400,000 Texas concealed handgun license holders. There's about 300,000 Texas NRA members, and TSRA only has 38,000 members.
Wow, 38,000, that is sad, honestly.
We have a great potential to increase our membership, and we're one or two in the nation.
Huh.
So that just tells you how bad the other states are off.
And, you know, with that membership, you also get a great bi-monthly publication as well.
Bi-monthly magazine that's called the TSRA Sportsman.
Right.
Our annual membership is $30. We have a three-year membership for $75 and a senior membership for $25 and a family membership for $50.
Well, $30 a year isn't a lot of money to support an organization that has our best interests at heart.
Oh, yes. And the more members we have, the more clout we have in Austin.
Well, there's strength in numbers, no doubt about that. Don, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much, and I'm very glad you're a member.
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way. Big round of applause for Texas State Rifle Association President Donald Strickland. Now, we do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll visit with one of your favorite Texas country music artists who also happens to be an avid outdoorsman. It's Brandon Ryder, coming up only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Somewhere in East Texas, you're out alone. Well, I can't dry your tears on the telephone.
Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Prusky's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Lehman H Feeders has been making the highest quality feeder for 45 years, and it takes 45 years to get 45 years of experience. Manufactured in Texas, we offer feeders for deer, quail, fish, pets, and livestock, and even songbirds. Some of our feeders are still operating in the field after 40 years of use. Makers of the trusted Blind Buddy and Blind Buddy Jr., our feeders are the most durable and user-friendly on the market. Visit www.lehmanhfeeders.com, because life's too short to buy a cheap feeder. That's lehmanhfeeders.com.
Howdy, Texas hunters. Texans have deep-rooted traditions that kick off every hunting season, whether you're planning a workday at the lease or getting the party list together for opening weekend of dove season. It's all part of the annual tradition. I want to tell you about a company that's becoming a part of my annual tradition, and that's GameGuard. GameGuard's been family-owned and operated in Texas since 2003 and is quickly becoming the first choice in apparel for Texas hunters. Dove season is fast approaching, and with the summer that we're having, the GameGuard vent-back shirt is a must to stay cool. And oh, don't forget to ice down your favorite beverage in the GameGuard cooler bag. GameGuard camouflage is committed to quality and dedicated to their loyal customers and would love to be a part of your family tradition. GameGuard can be found in many fine retailers or on the web at GameGuard.net. And by the way, thanks for supporting a Texas-based company.
Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. Featuring top-notch accommodations with 150 to 220 class bucks harvested annually, Star S Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
That night it rained out the football game. That night we parted with the girls from Fort Worth till the police came. You know we knew we'd probably never see any of those girls again.
All right, the greatness of Brandon Ryder bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith riding shotgun with you on this lovely Texas Saturday morning. Speaking of Brandon Ryder, I understand that he's already on the line, so let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Brandon, thanks for waking up early with us this morning.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, man. Now, to say that things have been pretty busy for you lately would be a drastic understatement.
Yeah. Yeah. The key is that it's good things. And, you know, we've had this record came out in February. Our record, our latest, is called Head Above Water. It's done really, really great for us so far. We had two singles off of it. The first single actually went to number one, Rock Angel, the week that the record came out in February. And so we were excited about that, to have that number one on the Texas music chart and the regional radio report. And then we came out with You Burn Me after that, and You Burn Me got all the way up there close to the top spot. It didn't take the top spot, but
number
it's
number three, right?
I believe so. And man, you know, any time that we can get up there in those spots with, you know, a lot of my friends that are up there in those high-ranking spots too, you know, a lot of those guys are on major labels. And as an independent, any time that we can get close to those guys, I think it's a win-win. So I kind of have the outlook that any time you get inside that top five, it's basically a number one.
Right on.
Our latest thing is that when we were making this whole record and we were putting Rock Angel out there as a single, we also made a video for it. We went to Dallas and spent an entire day, and that was a ton of fun. It was like from 7 a.m. in the morning to about midnight when we finally got through with it all. You know, we were trying to get it out there and see if we couldn't get some exposure from it as far as CMT, GAC, any of the video channels. And, you know, it took a long time for it to come through. And so Rock Angel's already lived its life regionally as a single, but to have the actual video be able to come out, and it did a couple of weeks ago. It actually hit number 12 on the CMT Pure Country 12-pack countdown this last week. We were extremely excited about that. I honestly felt like I had given up hope that it was ever going to make it, but we got it up there. And so, you know, that's the thing. We got to keep that fan-voted video package going. So anybody, you can go to our website, BrandonRyder.com. You can go to CMTPureCountry.com, CMT.com. Just look for the 12-pack countdown. Click on it, and then go to my ugly mug down there in alphabetical order, and click on it. You can vote as many times as you want to. It's a fan-voted deal, and I mean, I think it's just, that's really huge for me, because we made number 12 on a countdown that I was surrounded by Reba McEntire and people like that, people whom I've listened to in country music all of my life and grown up, you know, loving it. So I was really, really excited about that.
Well, it's definitely something to be proud of, man. You know, I had all these questions lined up for you to knock out of the park, but I'm not going to complain for you making my job easier. Let's talk about the new single, though, Battery, for those who might not have heard it. Talk about the inspiration behind that tune.
Battery's really about my best friends in the world. All four of us are really close to each other. You know, I always tell them that, you know, we're working all the time. They're busy. I'm busy. I work a lot on the weekends. They're off on the weekends. We don't get to spend that much time together. But every time that we do, once or twice a year, get to all get together and spend some time together and kick back for a few days. I always tell them when I leave there that they have recharged my battery and I'm ready to go back and face the world, so to speak. So that's really what it's about. It's about going home. It's going to see your friends. It's going to see, you know, my folks, my other family, my brother, and being able to just kick back and relax for a little bit and take it all in.
Well, Brandon, I know that you're pretty close with the great Walt Wilkins. He actually produced Head Above Water and the 2005 release Conviction. How important has Walt been in your life and ultimately to the success of the latest record?
Walt and I have a lot of the same approach. He's a dear friend and mentor and has been there for me since we met in 2004. I think that had something to do with it. I also think that every time I do exactly what I want to do instead of what other people tell me I should do, we're more successful. And I think that's because it reverberates to the fans. The fans get it. I have to say that's what we did with this. You know, a record before Head Above Water, that was a great record for us, called Every Night. I had my good friend and another great mentor, Texas Troubadour, Rodney Foster, produced that record. And he did exactly what I asked him to do on that record, and that was that we put it together in Nashville, and we were shooting a little bit, you know, to see if we could pitch anywhere close to the plate as far as maybe getting some labels luck, you know, and it just didn't work out. We met with every label in Nashville. I had him sitting on one side and my publisher on the other side. And I think, you know, it was just a strange time for them, and it was for us as well, and it just didn't work out. And so with this record, after that record, you know, I kind of wanted to bring it all back home. I was ending a publishing deal that I had had up there for 2 years, and had spent a lot of time away. I have two children, a four-year-old boy and a two-year-old girl, and every time I would come home, they would look different because they were. They grow so fast, and when you spend that much time away and you're on the road touring nonstop, basically, and then you're flying back and forth up there so much, it made it tough. And so basically that my philosophy, my approach for this record was I want to do it back close to home so the families can be involved. Not just my family, but all of our families. I wanted to use my band. I wanted Walt Wilkins to produce it. We were able to accomplish all of those things. And it made just for a really easy recording. There was never any stress. It just fell onto the disc. And I think that's a testament to, you know, the guys in the band, how great they played, and Walt's approach as a producer. And you know, the songs have to be there too. I mean, if they're bad songs, It's not going to translate. And I was lucky enough to have written this entire record, and no co-writes, no outside songs. I wrote the entire record. I didn't intend on that happening that way, but Walt kind of pushed me in that direction after we had been in the studio for a couple of days and said, "Look, man, we've done 8-9 songs. You have written every single one of them. Why don't you make it a Brandon Ryder record?" And I thought for a second, I don't know. And then I thought, you know what? Most people in this position don't ever get that chance to make a record because we're so busy and you have to look for outside songs and co-write to be able to make it all work. And so I take it, I don't take it lightly. I'm really, really proud of this record and the success that it's had. And I also believe that it'll continue to give us more.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that it will, man. As someone who stays true to themselves like you do, you know, actually, we had Robert Earl Keen on a couple weeks ago, and I think you guys are very similar in the way that you approach songwriting. You're very lyrical, and you tell stories in a way that most artists simply can't do. And anyways, I asked Robert about the direction of Texas country music, because to me, it looks like a lot of these up-and-coming guys look more like punk rock rejects than they do good old boys who should be singing Texas country music songs. So what are your thoughts on the direction of our music scene?
To be asked that question and to have it followed up with Robert Keen, somebody that I admire and have looked up to for many years and was able to be on his tribute album that we all did up in Steamboat two or three years back. That's the thing. They're guys that you just completely, you dig and you look up to so much because of their abilities and because they pay special attention to detail. And I think maybe that's the key for me, is that I want to say something. I don't want to make it too complicated, but I want to say it differently than it's been said before, because that's really hard to do. It really is. And, you know, there are guys out there that are lyrical, that are coming up. There are some guys I see, and that gives me hope. You know, I mean, this year with this record, I started hearing the word veteran, that I was being called a veteran, and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, that's interesting. You know, I feel like I've just gotten to a decent point in my career as far as really feeling confident about writing and feeling confident about enough about it to put an entire record out with just solo written material. And everybody's different. Everybody's got their own approach. I do feel that, you know, we kind of live in a fast food kind of time, and that I hope right now with the changes that are happening in the music scene in general, and that is stretches, you know, there are no borders on that. I mean, it's everywhere. Nashville's really struggling right now. There's not the right way to say it. It's the fact that we've done this for so long in this particular fashion to where now I hope that the singer-songwriter gets a chance to make the comeback, and that it starts to be more about lyrics and passion. And, you know, I mean, you got to be able to, if you're an artist, as far as, you know, a singer-songwriter, and you have to step up on that stage, I feel that I have to believe in what I'm saying from that stage, and I want everyone in the crowd to know that I'm bringing it 100% and that I mean it from the heart. And, you know, you've got to be careful what you write, because you just might have to sing it the rest of your life. That's the truth.
That's the truth indeed, man. Well, hey, we do have to take a quick break, but do you have time to stick around?
Absolutely, I can.
Awesome, because I know that you are an East Texas boy, and the outdoors played a big part in your upbringing. So we'll get into that here coming up in a minute. But right now, let's go ahead and take a listen to a little bit of the new single, Battery. We'll be right back with more from Brandon Ryder. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
So get ready, I'm tying one home. I'm living a country song. I got my work clothes on. I ain't going down till the sun comes up. A bottle of whiskey on my old stomping ground brings me around to the old familiar faces I need to recharge my battery.
From gun dog training to obedience and deer tracking programs, Rave Retrievers has it all. Boarding, training, and group and private lessons, morning or evening, will accommodate you and your dog. Owner Deborah Lee has 30 years experience in gun dog and obedience training, and has recently added Amanda Burrell to the training staff to offer even more intensive training capabilities. With numerous ponds, creeks, boats, and duck blinds, we offer the most realistic training available. Go to www.raveretrievers.com for all your dog training and boarding needs. That's www.raveretrievers.com.
A place to shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring 5 different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes, located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A place to shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack, Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Signs Diet Premium dog food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need 1 or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Hi, I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Back when 10 years pass and nothing's changed, this Texas town.
little Sonny Sweeney bringing us back from break here this morning. I'm Cable Smith, and man, that girl has got some pipes. I love her voice. Well, moving right along here, this segment is proudly brought to you by Spit and Fire Jigs, Texas' premier bass jig manufacturer. You won't catch me out at the lake without my Spit and Fire Jigs. Check them out at spitandfirejigs.com. Spit and Fire Jigs, feel the fire. Well, we've still got Brandon Ryder on the telephone. He was nice enough to stick around through the break. And as much as I love talking about Texas country music, I love hunting and fishing even more. And that's why I try to interview guys like you, Brandon, so that our listeners can see a different side of their favorite artist. Now, you actually grew up in the small East Texas town of Carthage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a good place to grow up. Small town, 6,600 souls there. You know, where I grew up at, just outside of town, my family had a whole bunch of land that all butted up to each other. So you had aunts and uncles and cousins, and my grandparents lived there. There were so many of us that lived there. It was a really fun place to grow up. We all grew up together. We all grew up hunting, and we all grew up fishing. And, you know, when I was a kid, the fact we didn't have cell phones in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, as a little kid, we still, you know, I tell Mama, hey, I'm gonna go fishing, and we jump on the bike and have you know, fishing pole in one hand and tackle box in the other, and we take out and, you know, go. There's pond everywhere, so we got to go. We just ride our bikes and go fishing. As long as you were back by, you know, dark, it was okay. Everything was fine, and it just was a really cool time to have been a kid. And I know a lot of people you wouldn't dream of doing that nowadays, letting them get on a bike and ride 2 miles down the road and go fishing somewhere. I mean,
no doubt. Those really were better times.
It just doesn't happen. But my grandfather, he was a hunter. He was a fisherman. He, you know, that's, a lot of people laugh at me when I say this, but I mean, we grew up eating squirrels and stuff like that. There's a squirrel season in East Texas, and deer meat, and everybody had gardens, and everybody had, whether it be deer or grass-fed, you know, fresh beef. Back then, I always like to say that we were organic when I was a kid, because we were poor. We didn't have any chance. You know, you had to, any choice, you raised all of your food, and you went hunting for, you know, those things to add to the freezer. And so it was very cool to grow up that way. I had a blast, and, you know, right now I'm really getting to relive a lot of those childhood memories by taking my daughter and son fishing, and my boy is really, really into hunting right now. And so, you know, we'll be sitting around the house at nighttime, and he'll say, Daddy, turn on that hunting show. And so it's really cool. I mean, I was six when I got my first gun. I was eight when I killed my first deer with a 243. I was, you know, those are good things, and it's going to be fun to relive a bunch of that with my boy and my girl if she wants to.
Well, it sounds like you're already having a blast passing down that Ryder family tradition to your boy.
Brother and Dad dove season, he wanted to know everything about it, you know, and I don't think it'll be, you know, a couple of 2 or 3 years. I'll have a youth, you know, 410 in his hand. I'll be taking him with me everywhere we go, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually tried to track you down last week, but you were enjoying the opening week of dove season, like any good old boy should. So I understand that you were hunting around Salado, so how was your opener?
That wasn't as good of a shot as I would have liked to have been. It was, they were flying high, and they were flying fast. There was a lot of white wings. I think I ended up shooting like 3 boxes to get about 10 birds. But, you know, it was fun. It's always fun just to get out in nature, just to get away from the everyday hustle and bustle of constantly being on the phone and doing what we do. You know, I mean, what I do for a living is my passion. It's not a job to me. It never has been. But at the same time, to be able to clear my mind and to be able to get away from some of the business aspects of it, a lot of times it's the outdoors that make that happen for me, and writing songs like Freeze Frame Time in a sunflower field at daybreak, you know, writing, I wrote I Love the Rain in a deer stand. It rained the whole time I was there, but I still went and sat in the stand while it rained, knowing I wasn't going to see anything,
yeah.
But just to get out in it and to be, you know, a part of that. So that's really why I enjoy it so much.
I find that my favorite artists have a really strong outdoor background, whether it's you, Chris Knight, Robert Earl Keen, Bruce, and Charlie, or even Roger Kreger, you know? Y'all are all so passionate
about the outdoors. And you know, I'm not an artist, but that's where I find inspiration every day. So, Brandon, do you ever take any hunting or fishing trips with any of your peers?
There's not a whole lot of them I've been hunting with or anything. No, I know Fowler likes to do it. We've trying to put some stuff together with he and I going. Kevin Millwood, who played now for the Orioles, but for the Rangers last year, he's a buddy, and he's a big hunter. You know, there's several of us guys that we try to. It's hard sometimes to lock these things down and to be able to, you know, do things like that.
Yeah, I can see how it'd be hard to put something together with you guys always being on the road at different times. Well, do you have any cool trips planned for the upcoming fall as far as hunting goes?
For sure. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm going to go dove hunting this many more times as I can. Then I'm going to go. I know that I'm going to get to go deer hunting this year. I always get to do that, and so I've got a place. It's up in northeast Texas, around Mount Enterprise, that a friend of ours, a family friend of ours, has a bunch of land up there. And I go out there because it's just, I love hunting in East Texas. It's a much different experience when you're hunting in all of the trees and the brush and everything. And those guys really work their tails off to get prepared for the season. And then I get to go out there and just get, you know, benefit from what they've done, getting everything ready. So I know that I'll get to do that again. And, you know, just whenever we get the chance, you know, it may be last minute, but as long as we get the chance, it's always fun.
And are you a bow or rifle hunter?
I'm a rifle hunter. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with the bow. And you know, my son's really been talking about that. He really thinks that's pretty cool. And so me and him might start doing it here, you know, in the next couple of years, and it might get me into it that way.
Yeah, I just got my first bow about 3 months ago at Outdoor Pro Shops, and it is addicting, I'll tell you that.
When my son was born, up until this year, you know, I haven't been gone as much. I haven't done as much hunting because I'm gone enough as it is, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and so I'm looking forward to that aspect of it.
All right, Brandon, shifting gears here for a minute. You, like me and many of our listeners, you're an outdoorsman who really enjoys preparing the wild game that you've harvested, but you take it a step further, my friend. You've been on a TV show. You blog about some of your recipes. You've even had some of them published in cookbooks. So what is your favorite wild game recipe?
Obviously, we did some dove up last week, and I don't think you can ever go wrong with that, where you know, the cream cheese and the jalapeno and wrap it and bake it and throw it on the pit. That's always, always great. You know, you can't go wrong with a chicken fried steak deer cut. That's always one of my favorites. I can't wait to get a deer. So, you know, I mean, I just love to cook, and I love to try anything. You know, I've cooked to quail. I love quail.
Quail is tough to beat, man. Definitely my favorite game bird. A couple more questions for you, Brandon, before I let you out of here. What is your bucket list hunt? If you could hunt anything, anywhere, before your days are up, where would you go, and what would you hunt?
I'd like to go elk hunting up in the mountains. I'd like to pack it, you know, with everybody having to have a couple of pack mules and spend several days really out in nature and hopefully getting that shot and being able to bring it on home from there. You don't have to buy another freezer because mine are full. But I think that would be really cool. And something else I haven't had the opportunity to do a whole lot of is deep sea fishing. And I would love the chance to do some more of that for sure. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt if, you know, we get some of our buddies and we could all go do this together and just have a good time with it and make memories.
Absolutely, man. And I don't know how good of friends you are with Roger Kreger, but he's got a pretty nice offshore rig. Just saying, you might want to play that card.
Absolutely. We've actually talked about getting together and doing some fishing, me getting down there, and I just simply have not been able to do it. But, yeah, we've definitely talked about it, and I feel like we'll do that. We'll make that happen here in the next year or so.
Now, that would be an offshore party right there, boy. Brandon, we are out of time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate how generous you've been this morning with your time. It's been a real treat getting to visit with you, and I've enjoyed it immensely. I look forward to seeing you next time you roll through town, man.
I've certainly enjoyed it as well, man. It's always good to meet a new friend along the way and to find somebody that's actually, you know, that's passionate about a lot of the same things that you are. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, and hopefully you and I can get together and hook up and maybe go on a hunt together or go fishing. So
I'd love to.
Give me a shout. You let me know, and we'll see if we can't make it work.
We'll do it for sure. We all go to BrandonRyder.com for tour dates, music, and, of course, to vote for Rock Angel on the CMT Pure Country 12-Pack Countdown. By the way, Brandon, good luck chasing those dove next week, man.
I don't think these rains this last week have helped us out there, but hopefully we'll get a few more chances.
Well, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, man. Bye-bye.
You know, I always figured that Brandon Ryder was a nice guy. Now I know for certain. What a genuinely nice guy he is. I really enjoyed talking to him. Well, we do have to take a quick break. But with early teal season beginning this morning, I thought it only fitting to visit with Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney. He'll tell us what to expect as far as teal numbers go. And I'm sure we'll get into a little Central Flyway fall migration as well. All that coming up next, only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antone, like a statue on his pintle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa and his guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo, to the 13 days of glory at the Siege of Alamo.
Barefoot Fishing Tours and guide Charles Whited is South Texas' premier largemouth guide service. Charles not only puts you on fish, but he also teaches adults and kiddos the techniques and strategies needed to land big bass. With two Bass Champs Angler of the Year awards and a record 44.98-pound five-fish stringer on Choke Canyon, his achievements speak for themselves. Fishing Choke Canyon, Bastrop, Browning, and Canyon Lake, call Charles at 512-557-6772. That's 512-557-6772, or visit barefootfishingtours.com. Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's beautiful Sutton County, McPherson Forum Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and Axis fallow and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also a part of the experience at McPherson Forum Ranch. Call Sandy at 210-827-2915. That's 210-827-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Kenneth Henneke's Fish Hatchery has been serving Texas for over 30 years, and we carry every fish you need to stock your ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers. From all types of bass, perch, tilapia, to shad, and various catfish, we have what you need and are the only hatchery that offers the fast-growing F1 hybrid catfish. Centrally located in Hallettsville, we deliver anywhere in Texas. So give us a call at 361-798-5934. That's 361-798-5934. Or visit our website at www.hennekehatchery.com.
Listen up, ticketheads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice: Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.
Say that you got to drive that Ford like it's a stallion. That you've got to wear your heart just like a gun. That old man said.
All right, Cable Smith, welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. And I tell you what, today is a great day to be a Texas outdoorsman. Dove season is in full swing, and as of this morning, we can add those little tealy birds to the hit list. That's right, early teal opened this morning and will last for the next 2 weeks. And you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who knows more about Central Flyway waterfowl than Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney. John, it is great to talk to you again, my friend.
Good to be with you, Cable.
So how was your summer, man?
Well, it was a pretty good summer. It wasn't not nearly as much fishing cable as I would have anticipated or would have hoped. I traded summer's worth of fishing in for training retrievers and running and hunt tests. So I had that's got to come out of somewhere, and it isn't going to come out of work and come out of family, so it came out of fishing.
Well, that is understandable, but on the bright side, sounds like you are geared up and ready to go for the upcoming waterfowl season. You know, teal season actually started this morning here in Texas. Tell me, how are things looking up there in North Dakota?
Well, Cable, it's getting to be that time of year. I think, you know, the teal season starting here shortly, dove season's starting here, you know, this week. And so, you know, it's getting to be that time of year, and a lot of calls with guys from all over the country wondering about how the fall flight's going to be. And most of our field work's done for the year, so we're moving into that time of year where we're getting ready to go out and work off the fruit of our labor a little bit and shoot some ducks.
Oh, I'm getting excited, John, and I tell you what, this evening I'm going to be out on the lake chasing those teal. I can't wait, man. You know, I love it, but to me it's still just a warm-up for regular duck season.
Well, it's an opportunity to collect a little wild protein. You guys down there are lucky enough to have a teal season. Believe it, it's pretty remarkable that you guys in your part of the world have a duck season before we do, but so we have to wait up here till the end of September. My colleagues here in Canada get a couple more weeks in on us, but we're anxiously awaiting the first part of the duck season here as well.
Well, John, a couple months ago we visited with Joel Bryce, your conservation programs manager and predator control director. And that's always very fascinating stuff. But this morning, let's find out how predator control has affected the fall flight. So how are things looking for us here in the Central Flyway this season?
You know, Cable, you know, it's not much change from last year. The total duck numbers were pretty unremarkably changed. You know, mallards were down a little tiny bit, 1%. Gadwalls were down 3%. Widgeon were down 2%. Green wings were up 1%. There wasn't a lot of big sway in the numbers. Overall, the total population declined by 3%, but that's still 21% above the long-term average. And we had really pretty good water conditions. The eastern Dakotas were up pretty significantly, almost 30% better than they were a year ago. Most of that gain occurred in South Dakota. North Dakota was remarkably wet, like you and I talked about a year ago. Mm-hmm. But South Dakota got very wet. That's 129% wetter than the long-term average, Cable. So
wow.
epic change. Southern Saskatchewan, although it was dry early, had a nice turnaround in May. They were up 21% from their long-term average. Well above their long-term average. Southern Alberta was down just a little bit from last year and from their long-term average. The only two areas that dried out significantly were southwestern Manitoba, that was down 43% from the long-term average, same from down from last year. And Montana and the western Dakotas were down significantly as well, but still above the long-term average. So like you and I talked about last year, the water conditions were really exceptional in the Dakotas. And while there wasn't much to talk about in terms of duck populations going up or down, we saw the same thing happen that we had a year ago, Cable, in that we had more breeding ducks on the U.S. side of the prairies than the Canadian side of the prairies, which, as you know, is a huge change from historical times and historical trends.
John, you mentioned Manitoba, and traditionally that is a mallard factory, and they're down 43%.
May pond counts, yep. Okay. And that's where it was in May. Now, one of the interesting things that happened, Cable, is almost all of southern Canada, southern Alberta, southern Saskatchewan, and southern Manitoba, all improved drastically after the surveys were completed. So late May and early June, I bet you if you went and redid those surveys in June, it would look a lot different than what it did in May when the Fish and Wildlife Service did conduct the surveys. The challenge, of course, with that is when you're dry early, you don't tend to attract as many ducks as you would if you were wet early.
Uh-huh.
But the birds that were there probably had an opportunity to launch a pretty aggressive breeding effort and also probably had pretty high duckling survival as well.
Well, it's nice to hear those late rains really came through for our neighbors to the north. Now, is there any species that took a sharp downturn, John, that we should be concerned about?
I guess the two that showed bigger declines was blue wing teal were down 14%, but that's still way above the long-term average at 36% above the long-term average. And the reason for that, Cable, and waterfall managers know, and teal are pretty notorious for doing this, if they find really good conditions south of the traditional survey area, they'll stay there. And this year, with wet conditions in places like Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, you know, it's pretty likely that those ducks dropped out of the system. We just didn't count them. I don't think anybody's too terribly concerned about that decline. The other decline was canvasback. We're down 12%, really right in line with the long-term average. And I think that's probably related to those areas of southern Saskatchewan, southern Alberta, and southwestern Manitoba that are the core of the canvasback breeding range being dry early.
See, there's always more to it than just the numbers because, like, you know, we even have blue-wing teal that will nest here in Texas, which means there's no way they could ever be counted in the survey.
Yep. So, I mean, that's a perfect anecdote for what you're going to see with blue wings elsewhere.
So your fearless forecast, John, for us Texas early teal hunters, you know, it sounds like it should be a pretty good season.
Yeah, I mean, we've got really high starting breeding population. We should have had a really good breeding effort with blue wings. They settled disproportionately in the Dakotas, where we're still lucky enough to have CRP, and wetland conditions were great. So they should have had a good breeding effort this year.
And John, you mentioned CRP, which is a very long-standing and highly successful government program, but we are losing these CRP lands at an extremely alarming rate.
Well, we know, Cable, what drives continental duck populations. First of all, you got to have water to attract the ducks, and then you have to have upland nesting cover for them to be successful. And as I mentioned earlier, we've seen this huge shift in continental duck populations with more and more ducks year by year settling in the Dakotas, the last 2 years being the first two times in recorded history there have been more breeding ducks in the U.S. prairies than in Canada. And that's a testament to how well ducks have been doing with the Conservation Reserve Program. The Conservation Reserve Program, as you know, paid farmers and ranchers to conserve poor quality agricultural land and put it into upland nesting cover. And that's been a remarkable boon to ducks and all sorts of other critters. Now, the challenge, though, Cable, is between the CRP and the native grass that we've lost. We've lost close to 2 million acres of that nesting cover since 1999, the year that most duck herders will remember for the really big fall flight. And there's a lot of CRP that's set to expire in the coming years. So while ducks have done really well in the Dakotas, you know, the future's a bit uncertain.
Well, it is a very dicey situation and one that I'll be monitoring very closely. Well, John, do you have any really cool hunts planned for this season?
No, I think one thing I'm excited about, Cable, is for the first time since I moved to North Dakota, we're going to have the opportunity to shoot two pintails. This year was the first year since 1997 that the Central Flyways had two pintails available to it. Last year, the pintail populations were high enough to give the good folks in the Pacific Flyway two pintails, but not high enough for the rest of us. And so this year, again, the first time since 1997, Central Flyway duck hunters will have the opportunity to shoot two pintails. And so I'm pretty eager to go out there and shoot a couple of pintail drakes a few days when I'm out there this fall.
Oh, that would be nice to have two bull sprigs in the bag. But funny you bring that up. I think Texas might be the only Central Flyway state that decided not to go with two pintails. And we'll have Dave Morrison on, the waterfowl program leader for Texas Parks and Wildlife, here in the next couple weeks or so, and I'll figure out what's going on with that situation.
Well, if you need a picture of a few dead pintail drakes, let me know and I'll send you a couple. It's a pretty handsome strap I can only imagine because I've never done it, but to go out and shoot, you know, a couple of greenheads, a couple of pintail drakes, and a couple of green-winged teal would be a nice way to spend a day in the duck marsh.
Yes, sir, that would be tough to beat, no doubt about it. Well, John, as usual, I appreciate you coming on and talking Central Flyway duck numbers with us. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Perfect, Cable. Glad to do it. And let's talk again right before your big duck season opens. I'll have some observations for my hunting so far. Maybe I can pass along some news from the breeding grounds.
That sounds like a plan to me, John. And good luck with your duck season.
Thanks so much, Cable.
Always a pleasure to talk to my buddy, John Devney, the Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl. Of course, John forgets to mention that he'll be up there educating all these Central Flyway birds before they make it down to Texas. But I guess that's just the price we pay for living in the greatest state in the greatest country in the world. Thanks to all our guests this morning, Donald Strickland of the TSRA, of course, Brandon Ryder, and John Devney of Delta Waterfowl. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
That's just Texas talking way down home. Dallas, Fort Worth, down to San Antonio. That's just Texas talking how I was raised.